You're listening to HowStreet.com Radio, available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com. Welcome to HowStreet.com Radio, the online source for market opinions. Here is Jim Goddard.
My guest is market historian Bob Hoy. He's the chief investment strategist for chartsandmarkets.com. He's speaking to us from Vancouver. Welcome back to the show, Bob.
Yeah, hi, Jim. Here we are again on Friday morning, and it's a sort of on and off cloudy day here in Vancouver. And, well, that's the way it is. And we have our listening audience out there. And as you know, I can never figure out where they are.
They are everywhere and anywhere, Bob, in cyberland.
That's the word, yeah. Cyberland. Okay.
Well, our question, we always like to kick off the show with listener questions. This question comes from me. Bob, what was the financial story of the year that stood out for you?
Oh, right. It's a double-ended one. One would be the very sharp low in the S&P in April, and on our work, it was very oversold. So, hey, and then also we added to that that you have a seasonality where markets can recover into mid-year. We covered that one. Then when we got to mid-year, it's looking really good, and it could be good right through September. And the high was October 28th or 29th or something like that. And then we're in a correction process at the moment. It's a possibility that the great bull market is completing, and if it completes and rolls over, it is going to be very pretty out there. So that the call was had two ends to it. They're very oversold, and then the more recent overbought. So, yeah.
And Bob, have you seen a market recovery like that before where you had records set after a very concerning low?
Oh, I think it probably happens quite a bit. I can't think of any others at the moment. But they could just go in a good drive up. And also there were indications, Jim, that the general public was getting in. And the public doesn't get in at stock market bottoms. They're nowhere in sight because the stock market is a very painful place to be in. And then the retail crowd has a tendency to come in as prices get very high. I'm not condemning, I'm just describing.
Yes, we've all heard of the slogan, buy low, sell high, and yet nobody's interested when everything is low. But it was explained to me by one of our guests. If you walked into a grocery store and they said potatoes 50% off, would you hesitate to buy them? No. Well, then why do you hesitate to buy stocks that are 50% off?
Yeah, that's a good way of putting it, Jim. Yeah.
We'll take a look at some of the headlines that caught Bob's eye right after this.
Don't miss out. Stay informed. Receive the HowStreet.com weekly recap with thought-provoking podcasts, radio, and articles delivered to your inbox. Sign up for the HowStreet.com weekly recap on our homepage at HowStreet.com.
Welcome back. We're speaking with Bob Hoy. Some of the headlines that caught his eye. This one from Zero Hedge. It's really interesting. He'll be lucky to have a bookmobile. The future of Joe Biden's presidential library in doubt as donations fail to come in.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's the government doesn't pay for the presidential library. So you build a new building the word is with President Trump, the billions are rolling in for his eventual presidential library. So, good headline.
From Zero Hedge, the AI trade is losing its footing as Asia flashes red.
Yeah, well, we've been talking, Jim, about the artificial intelligence phenomenon, and it has become a very popular play. And also, it is very high-tech. And I'm going to put together a study on this one, and it seems that previous great bubbles have involved a high-tech company. 1929, Radio Corp of America, RCA, was the darling, and it got up to something like $125. And the street was expecting $3 a share earnings. That was in 1929. And then it crashed all the way down to a dollar or so. I mean, a horrendous crash. And then the long recovery of the company's operations began. And they eventually, in 1956-57, got to their $3 a share earnings based upon the Elvis Presley contract. I get quite a kick out of that story.
Well, and what about the dot-com bust of 2000, where anybody who attached dot-com to anything was getting millions of dollars?
Oh, for sure. No, that was a great bubble, too. When it collapsed, there was a hit to the economy and the financial markets. But I mentioned 1929 because we are in a bubble that is perhaps even bigger. Well, it is much bigger than the 1929 example.
Wow.
I remember another one. The 1873 bubble was one of those great bubbles. And the high-tech stock then was Westinghouse. Mm. And General Electric. And that was the big thing, the electric company. So you always can get a tech thing with a great financial bubble.
And also in the 1920s, 1910, wasn't there a major crash of railway stock? And it was the same thing, too. I mean, Downton Abbey, the fictional TV show, was all based on the fact that his lordship had lost all of his money in the railways.
Yeah, that one took... Downton Abbey, I think it was the bulk of the story was pre-1929.
Yeah.
So anyways, they wrote it in somewhere. There was, I guess there was quite
a
hit.
It was before the First World War, so
yeah,
I think
yeah.
1910, so, something like that.
Oh, there was the big boom to 1906 and the 1907 crash.
Yeah.
That would have been it, yeah.
And then I also remember his lordship saying, I hear there's this fellow Ponzi in New York who guarantees a return. Shouldn't I put the rest of my money there?
Yeah, the Ponzi scheme. Yeah,
right.
Oh, that was a great one. That Ponzi came up with the idea. You gave him your investment dollars, and he showed an above-market rate of return. And that then brought in more and more new monies. But what he was doing was taking the monies that came in and paying an artificially high amount to the first few of his clients. And then it just all became huge at the time and collapsed with considerable disaster. So...
Yes, Ponzi originally started off as a hotel clerk in Montreal, and then he perpetrated his scheme in New York, where all the money was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't know he was from originally in Canada, so, yeah.
Well, you don't usually brag about things like that. Wayne Gretzky will always be a Canadian, but nobody claims Ponzi.
Yeah.
Another headline here, Ford takes record $19.5 billion charge as EV bet implodes. That's mostly because of their electric version of the F-150 pickup, I would think.
That was part of it, yeah. The electric vehicles was just an incredible mania. It was absolutely a mania. And the warning sign was that it was backed by governments, and they never have a good idea. And the attraction was that it was no tailpipe emissions. Emissions are bad, you know, but what they talk about emissions, the anxiety group, it's carbon dioxide, for God's sakes, and there's, we breathe out something about 5% CO2, and it's much less than 0.004 on the intake. So, and carbon dioxide, take it away, and life on Earth would end like right now. So carbon dioxide is increasing unusually, and I think that's due to mankind's activities, but it is beneficial. Now, here's the other one that they go on about, it was just dead wrong, is that it's the first time in a billion years of life on Earth that warming trend is bad. So they're even wrong on that. Warming has been beneficial for a billion years. And it warmed. It comes and goes. You had the little ice age down into the 1890s. Since then, we've been on a very fine warming trip. And you had the end of the last ice age about 12,000 years ago. It was at its maximum and then started to get warmer and milder and that sort of thing.
Well, they now have millions of years of data from ice cores taken from Antarctica. And yeah, that's usually the cycle. You have 110,000 years of ice and cold and 10,000 years of warm. We're just lucky to be in the 10,000 years.
Yeah, it was warmer in about 6,000 to 8,000 years ago with the Holocene optimum, but here's the other one, is that in the scientific literature, the warm, like the Roman optimum and the Minoan optimum, they describe the warm period as an optimum, meaning it's the good stuff. And trust me, warming is good. Another ice age, on the last one, the ice extended right down to where Chicago is now. And can you imagine being there and lifting up a corner of the ice sheet? What kind of life would you find there? Virtually nothing.
Little worms.
Microbes and stuff. So,
and all of Canada would have to crowd onto Vancouver Island because the rest of the country would be under ice.
Yeah, the tops of the peaks in Vancouver Island didn't get glaciated.
And that's why they have unique plants and animals there.
I think they do, yeah.
Another headline here from Zero Hedge. Crowded shorts, cash gone, big bid about to fade.
Yeah, again, a well-crafted headline. And the it's saying that the maximum, there are too many people shorting stocks. Well, just a minute, no, I'll get that. Anyways, the cash is gone, and the big bid is about to fade. So that I liked the headline; it was well crafted.
Another headline here. Trump administration looking to restore coal plants as America's grid buckles.
Yeah. Coal-fired electrical generating plants had become really quite economic. And then with all kinds of treatments and whatnot, there was very little pollution from the coal burning. But the anxiety movement didn't like it, and Well, they just wanted to shut down all kinds of practical ways of generating power. And one of the most practical is nuclear. And just for the sake of hell of it, they didn't like nuclear either. So the crazies have done their damage, and I think the market forces are turning against them. And the more, well, China's, you know, turning on about two or three coal plants a month or something like that. Anyways, they're building coal-fired plants rather quickly. And you might as well have it in North America as well.
Well, one thing that was pointed out to me is with the new Chinese plants, they have real modern scrubbing equipment, and they capture the carbon monoxide. They turn that into carbon fiber. The carbon black from the coal is being used again for carbon fiber items. So we know the Chinese love to be efficient.
Yeah,
and well, make the most of it.
Coal mining, coal-generated electrical power, it's coming back, and it should be coming back. So, good stuff.
But again, do it the right way. Just don't use Victorian technology.
Yeah.
And is there anything... before we wrap up, Bob...
There are places in the States, I forget, Wyoming or something, driving there, and there were coal, maybe vertically, coal seams to the surface, and they were on fire. And who knows how many hundreds or how many hundreds of years they were on fire, but it was just fascinating to see a coal seam with heat and glow and all that sort of stuff. So you can have natural burning coal seams just there, geologically speaking. So, yeah.
Oh, and natural gas, about 12 miles north of the town of Peace River, Alberta, there was a sand bar which natural gas naturally bubbled out of, and they had a jet boat that would take you up there. You throw a highway flare on it, and there you have fire burning in the middle of the river. And
that would be fun.
Yes, and the original people who lived there worshipped that as a place where it suddenly sometimes would just catch fire.
Yeah, well, of course, the tar sands further north there, it was just oozing hot oil, tar, and whatnot at the surface. Yeah.
Okay, Bob, now to wrap up the show, you had a story for us about driving in the snow.
Oh, yeah. This was in Penticton high school days, there was a small lake at an elevation, up a valley road, from Penticton, and I can't remember the name of it, but it was a small lake, and we had understood that it had frozen over solid, a top hard enough to skate on, before the snow came. So away we went with our cars up there, and we had brooms and push things to get the snow off, but the ice was wonderful. And then we realized that one of our cars was missing. So we took one car and went back down the road. And now this was open Okanagan territory, land. And there was a hairpin turn. And they'd missed it. And the car just gently rolled down the bank and ended up upside down. So when we came along and walked down into there, our friends who were in the car were sitting, get this, the car is upside down. They were sitting on the ceiling of the car having their lunch. So I think we had to get a wrecker in to get that one out of there. So.
Well, I was going to say, now, if you're going to have an accident, that's the happiest ending ever, right?
Oh, yeah, good one, Jim, yeah.
Bob, always fun chatting with you. Best of the season. We'll chat again in a week.
Yes, indeed, and the best of the season to all our listeners out there in...
Cyberland.
Wherever they are.
Cyberland, land.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Yeah.
My guest has been market historian Bob Hoy. He's the chief investment strategist for chartsandmarkets.com. If you have any questions for Bob or for any of our guests, you can send them to info@HouseStreet.com. Our YouTube channel is Talk Digital Network. Find us on X at House Street. We're also on Facebook. I'm Jim Goddard. Thank you for listening.
Comments made on HouseStreet.com radio are an expression of opinion only and should not be construed in any matter whatsoever as recommendations to buy or sell any financial instrument at any time. Available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com. HouseStreet.com radio is a production of HouseStreet Media Incorporated.